Hey, good evening again. Don't want to make a generalisation at all, but I think the boys got ready quicker there. Why change a habit of a lifetime? Well done, everyone. Just going to read 8 verses from Hebrews chapter 11, just as a thought this evening to leave you with before we have some supper together. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read the last section of it. This is basically a passage or a section in Scripture which recounts the heroes of the faith. So imagine yourself walking through a hall of fame or a hall of faith where all the saints or all the people who have gone before and have done really well. You can imagine their pictures framed and engraved and all the statistics of all the things that they've done. And here we find ourselves at the very end of Hebrews 11. And the writer says, "And what more shall I say?" Verse 32. "For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment and were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, through faith, were commended. And they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." We end there giving thanks to God for his word and how he speaks to us even today. I'm sure, like me, you've maybe heard enough thank you speeches where someone starts to name people individually and then they really wish they hadn't started naming people at the end of their speech because they're really sure that they're going to leave someone out. And they mention a whole list of names and they start going into all sorts of things and all sorts of detail and it starts the ball rolling and off the top of their head they're trying to recall the person who actually made their shoes and the person in the shop who they bought them off and every person who has been influential in getting them to this point, and then they just do this catch-all phrase and everyone else. And you know for sure that they're going to leave someone out because they haven't actually thought about the list of names that they're going to say out loud. Well, in Hebrews 11, the writer or the preacher begins to list a whole list of names of people who are heroes of the faith, people who are an example in a hall of fame. He points out people like Noah and Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Moses, and other significant Old Testament characters. And as we reach verse 32, it's like he's glanced up at the clock and realized that the congregation are restless. They're ready for their Sunday dinner, and they're like, "You need to hurry up here. We've got a lot of Old Testament to go, and you're only in Genesis, and you're thanking the heroes of the faith." And he says, "Well, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." And the congregation said, "We are very glad to realize that you do not have time to go into all that detail about all those people. Thank goodness for that," they said, "like you say when I go on too long." Like any true preacher, though, he's like, "Time would not permit me to tell you about this," and then he goes on to mention them and to list their names, and rather than giving us a summary and stopping, he keeps on going for a few more verses. And in terms of Christian discipleship, something's really, really simple and important about this last section of Hebrews 11 that I'd love you to notice just as we draw our time together to a close this evening. Chapter 11 and into chapter 12, that little section's really, really important for Christian discipleship. It should minister confidence in you to trust Jesus at all times, because the circumstances that are described here are wide and various. We're currently living in a world where our lives are measured by the following we have online, by the number of likes or retweets that we get, by the number of people who notice our Instagram posts or not. And just like advertising sells a product, says one journalist, there's a constant obsession with perfection, ideal, happiness, gratification and needs. And he says, as a society, we are currently immersed in this social sharing experience where weakness, vulnerability and sadness are often frowned upon. And so people don't share weakness or vulnerability or sadness or failure online because it's like it doesn't get attention. We want to see success. We want to attach ourselves to success. Where do we look for encouragement when our lives can't compete with the impressions that we see all around us and the images that we are bombarded with constantly? Where do we take our failure? Where do you take your sadness? Where do you take your disappointments? The final verse of Hebrews 11, the verses here speak precisely to this situation. I want you to notice in the passage, first of all, really quickly, comparisons deceive, because there's a whole list of examples here. Through faith, people conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, became powerful in battle, and routed foreign enemies and armies, and women received back their dead to life. I'm like, I want to be a Christian. That sounds like fun. Let's shut the mouths of lions. Who wouldn't want that experience of Christianity? Like, sign me up. I want to follow Jesus if that's what it means. But he's not finished listing people. He goes on. There were others. Oh, really? Tell me. Tell me about the others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, and destitute, persecuted, ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, lived in caves and holes in the ground. Can I be with the first group? We're picking teams. Verse 39 says, these were all commended for their faith. Those who shut the mouths of lions and those who were sawn in two. See, being a Christian does not guarantee you an easy, suffering-free life. Some people were killed in battle. Some people received back their dead, and they still belong to the people of God. And what unites this list of people, even though their circumstances are really dramatically different, is that they had faith, confidence, not in themselves. Their faith and their hope and their trust and their confidence are outside of themselves in the person and work of Jesus Christ. A Bible commentator called R. Kent Hughes says this: God has not promised wholesale deliverance in this life for his people. At all times and in every situation, not all of us will be winners in this life. From the world's point of view, some people of faith are huge losers. Who wants to be a loser? Not many of us. And so as you're baptized this evening and as you witness that this evening, this is not a guarantee that life is going to go swimmingly from now on. You will find yourself in this fellowship celebrating alongside people who are celebrating, rejoicing with those who rejoice, being alongside people who are celebrating their 30th or 40th wedding anniversary, and yet you will find yourself alongside perhaps a young widow or a young widower who never got that opportunity. You will find yourself celebrating with people who are dedicating their children to the Lord and find yourself alongside people who never had the joy of being parents themselves. And all these people are people of faith. Does Christianity have any ability to speak to our culture where weakness and vulnerability and sadness are frowned upon? Yes, it does. The incredible news of the Christian gospel is for all people in every situation and every circumstance. And the powerful testimony of the church of old is that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. Grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. I remember in my home church in Carrickfergus singing, you know, days of darkness still come over me. Sorrow's path I often tread, but the Saviour still is with me. by his guiding hand am led. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he will lead you in the sunshine and in the rain, and he will be faithful at all times. People of faith, whether they were cured from cancer or not, whether they were married like Abraham or single like Paul, whether they enjoyed the riches like Solomon or lived in poverty like the widow of Zarephath, their lives were not ultimately determined by their circumstances, but their lives were determined by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle says to the Philippian church, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I know what it is to be well fed. I know what it is to be hungry. I've flown business class and economy. I've sat in the comfy seats and I've sat in the dirt and the ground. Living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Some people love that verse. And I understand why. It doesn't mean that if you are a Christian, you're like God's going to make your dreams come true. It means that if you are a Christian and you locate yourself in Christ, then you'll be able to face anything this world throws at you. You'll be able to do all this. You'll be able to do well fed or hungry. Whatever life throws at you, there is strength in Christ to face it. He will be sufficient. Whatever it means, whatever it takes, whatever lies ahead, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Lamentations 3:23, we know it. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. This I call to mind. I have hope because God's word says his mercies are new every morning and his love for me is steadfast. No matter what your circumstances are, let me tell you, the four of you who are baptized, your circumstances are not steadfast. They change. They'll be up and down. So don't go through life comparing yourself with other people, making wrong assumptions about how God must love them more than he loves you because you're having a hard time. Hebrews 11 is a passage that causes us to see that people of faith have good times and bad times, and I want to encourage you that he will be with you in it all. God forgets no one, says R. Kent Hughes. He doesn't forget anyone who loves and serves him. It is his great pleasure to commend faith in them. Disciples of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that comparisons are really deceptive. Don't compare yourself with other people and think, well, their lives are fine, mine's not. Because we know about this much about everybody else's life. And they know about this much about your life. Just don't compare. Comparisons deceive, but the cross declares really briefly. At the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I was trying to think of another illustration, but this one was most present in my mind. Last weekend, James, Robbie, and I were at Anfield. Sorry, we were. That's us at the Champions Wall. We've got loads of trophies and loads and done really, really well as a football. Right, I'll stop talking about that. But as the match was playing, there's different songs being sung by the fans. And one of the songs to the well-known tune of the Fields of Athenry, was really popular in Greenland Estate, I'm sure. But the Fields of Athenry, they sing, Low Lie the Fields of Anfield Road, where once we watched King Kenny play, and he could play. Steve Highway on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely around the fields of Anfield Road. So we're singing about all these heroes of the past, and if you can see, really, you can see Kenny Dalglish is there. And I looked up. Kenny Dalglish is 72. Steve Highway is 75. They're not going to go past anybody on the wing. Unless they're in a mobility scooter. Right? They couldn't even get a game for Carrick Rangers, right? Their powers have faded. Their ability to outpace defenders is long gone. They've been replaced by younger, quicker, more athletic, fitter men. These are our heroes of the past. We're singing about them, but their powers have gone. they're no use, really, anymore to Liverpool Football Club. We can look back at DVDs, if you have a DVD player, right? Or a VHS, some of you are old enough to remember that. But Jesus is always on the throne. His power, ability, strength never fades. He's the defeater of sin, the conqueror of Satan. And I want you all to keep that in mind. Consider him who endured the cross, scorned its shame, and seated at the right hand of the Father. See, all these people who died, they died in faith because they trusted God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, rescue is only possible. Eternal life is only possible. Forgiveness of sin is only possible by trusting in the one who's strong enough to provide it at all times, in all seasons, no matter what day it is, no matter what year it is, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Place your hope, your confidence, your faith in Jesus Christ, because your circumstances will change, but Jesus never will. Let's take a moment to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this list of people who have been such an example to us, people who trusted you and experienced real miraculous evidence of your power, people who were able to stave off armies and shut the mouths of lions. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for people in this fellowship who are having a great time and for whom life is going really well, people who are celebrating happy times and good experiences. And we rejoice with them. We thank you too that in your word there's a list of people who were sawn in two, who were rejected by their own people, who experienced defeat and to all intents and purposes were losers in this life, and yet they too were people of faith. Help us not to compare ourselves with others, but to put our confidence in Jesus who never changes. We pray, Lord God, that as a fellowship we would walk well with those who rejoice, that we would celebrate alongside them and not be bitter towards them, envious of them, but grateful for what you're doing in their lives, that we would rejoice with those who rejoice. And we pray you would help us to mourn with those who mourn, and that we, with the Apostle Paul, would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We pray for each of the candidates tonight who have been baptized, each of these people who have known your grace and favor at work in their lives. We pray, Lord God, that you would draw near to them, Emma and Shay. Help them to know your grace in their home and prepare them for the days ahead. For Molly, Lord God, draw near to her. Bless you for her. You know the changes that will be coming in her life as she changes school. We know that you've gone before, and we pray that you'd be sufficient for her. Thank you for her mum and dad and her sister and her grandparents and her family and friends. Pray for your blessing upon her. And for Rebecca too, Lord, we bless you for bringing her here among us, for her friendship with Clara Rose, for her parents, for her brother, for all who love and care for her. Thank you for the influence that she already is, and we pray that her influence would increase in the places where you've put her. And we pray that she would know your sufficiency in everything that lies ahead, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together.